Hello, I'm Owen. Welcome to Wellspring Baptist Church Podcast. We're glad you're listening. For more information on all that's going on at Wellspring, please visit www.wellspringbaptistchurch.org. I hope this message is a blessing to you.
We've been doing, before I left, had been doing some kind of overviews here on the books of Moses, and that's what we're going to continue, at least today, Numbers. Just an overview, a big overview, the first 10 chapters, but we'll start just reading the first three verses. In Numbers chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their polls, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. Thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies." And so this is where the book gets its name, Numbers, as God begins to number the people, have Moses and Aaron number the whole congregation, the whole host of the Hebrew people to be numbered. And just as a recap to remind you some of the things that we've already discussed, Genesis is the book of beginnings. Genesis, the book of beginnings, it's the book where we have the creation and the fall. Exodus is that book of redemption. It's the big exit out of slavery, out of Egypt. And remember the message, "Let my people go," right? Let my people go. Let them go from slavery. Let them go from bondage. To what? Let them go. To what? You remember? Let them go that they may what? Serve me. That they may be a covenant people. That they may be in a relationship with God. God said they must be set free from Egypt in order to worship and to serve me. And then we see the book of Leviticus. This is a book where it begins to detail their service and their worship and their fellowship with God. God begins to put a fine point on the way that he wants them to fellowship with him. And I pointed out that each one of these books, God becomes closer, right? Closer to them, speaking to them, you know, from the mount and then from outside of the tabernacle to then inside the tabernacle. And that's the whole purpose always, is God's trying to be in closer fellowship with his people. And that's true today, that God is trying to draw us to himself, to be in a closer fellowship with him. That's the goal for us as Christians, is to know him more and to be in a closer walk and relationship with him. And the book of Numbers, I would say, at least again, the first 10 chapters is about God setting the order. God setting the order. They were not just set free from captivity in Egypt to do whatever they wanted or to go wherever they wanted. God set them free to go to be led to the promised land, didn't he? That they had an inheritance that God wanted them to possess. A place, an actual physical place that he wanted them to go and to live. And this was going to take some time. It didn't happen overnight, but it was God's will that this happened. And so it was going to ultimately happen. It was going to happen eventually. And they were not just set free to do, you know, whatever felt good and to separate and to, you know, kind of scatter around, but they were to be brought into an order and into a relationship and covenant with God. And I would say that that's what you'll see as you read through the book of Numbers, is that there is an order to their service, an order to their worship, that there is a, you know, it was almost as though God was setting an order to their steps, to their way of life, and to their fellowship with him. I want to make this statement. God is a God of order. He's a God of order. From the beginning to the end. You see this from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light." In the beginning, the earth was without form. The earth was void. The void, there was no order to it. There was no form to it. There was no order in it. There was no morning and evening. There was no seed time and harvest. There was no, you know, guarantee that what goes up must come down. There was no male and female. There was no separation between the land and the sea. There was no order. And when there's a lack of order, you know what that is? That's chaos. That's chaos. But God spoke into the chaos. God said, "Let there be light." And what happened? There was light. God spoke into the chaos and there was order. God divided the morning from the evening. God put order in all of creation as he made it. And each time, you know what he said? It is what?
Good.
You know what God thinks about order? That's good. He said, as he made each thing, he said, it is good. It is good. We were in Sri Lanka and we were in India and that new village and I don't want to overstate some of this stuff, but I don't want to understate it either. We saw the power of God in many ways, the Spirit of God move in powerful ways in some of these Bible teaching times and preaching the gospel. And there was one where we were in this village and everyone there was Hindu. And one of the ladies raised her hand to ask a question. She said, how can I experience God? Like, you say that there is a God, but how can I see that? How can I experience that? And my response to her was, you do every single day and all day long. You just don't glorify him as God. You just don't recognize him. You know, I said, have you ever experienced the sun come up in the morning? And she said, yes. And I said, have you experienced the blessing of the sun that comes up on every day? And she said, yes. I said, do you know who made that sun? God did. God made every living creature and every living person. He made us. He made all that we can see. It's not that we don't experience God. It's that we don't recognize him as God. We don't recognize what he has done, that he made all things. By the way, that lady was gloriously saved at the end of that service that night, trusted Christ as their Savior. But when God created, you know what he did? He set an order. He set an order. God did not create chaos. He did not. The sun and the moon, you know what? He made them. And he said, these are for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. He put the seed in the fruit that it would bear fruit of itself, right? And he made seed time and harvest. He set an order to all these things in creation. God spoke order. He said, and it was good. He spoke it. You know, to understand that order and understanding is a gift from God. I've been made aware of this each and every time that I travel to those countries, is that understanding and order is a gift from God. In other words, to be in darkness and to not have that understanding and to be in chaos is a curse. It's not a good thing. The Hebrew people had been slaves for 400 years. They had no order. They had no identity. They had no structure, no government, no nothing, right? They were slaves. It was Pharaoh's word or else. That's what it was for 400 years. And now God is calling them out to be a nation of kings and priests. The greatest kings, by the way, King David and King Solomon, and of course, the King of Kings. And as he's calling this group of slaves, group of people that had no order, no structure to their system, he said, I must set an order for you. I'm going to make you a nation from a group of people that were slaves to a nation of kings and priests. But they needed to have order. They needed to have order. The first 10 chapters, again, is about all the order that God set. And he goes into detail. Sometimes you may think that some of these books like Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Numbers are a little dry because God goes into great detail of the order that he wants. And the purpose for that is that this is what pleases God. To recognize that he doesn't just say these things for no reason, but there's a reason for it, that he wants this, that they should be in a relationship with him, that they should be in a fellowship with him. And so he begins to set an order for each of the tribes, how they should be arranged. He tells them how to pitch in relationship to the tabernacle. Each of the tribes had a specific place where they were supposed to pitch their tents and have each tribe have their standard. You begin to see he lays out the order for the priesthood and for the Levites and how that those things were. And as you go down through, each chapter is more order and more order for God's people. And I would say that God is a God of order. We see this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, where the Bible says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. For God is not the author of confusion. If you were to read the context of that verse, starting back in verse chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, you know what Paul is doing? Each one of these chapters, he's correcting some disorder that's going on in the churches at Corinth. There's a lot of disorder going on, things that were out of order in the churches. And Paul is correcting those things. And in that, he says, God is not the author of confusion. What's confusion? Confusion is chaos. It's the lack of understanding. God is not the author of this. He created what? Order. So then who is the author of confusion? Who is then the author of confusion? There's a lot of confusion in the world. I'm just amazed that the confusion, and I don't say this to be belittle in any way. I believe the people in India are very intelligent, very smart people, highly educated. There is no doubt about that in my mind. But they are so confused. And they've been in confusion. Why? Because the God of this world had blinded the minds of them that believe not. And very intelligent people are doing very chaotic things that hurt themselves and bring them into deeper darkness, as for thousands of years they have worshipped idols. And the enemy is behind that. And it is so, it's so clear. I remember seeing that firsthand of thinking, and the things that just make you sad. Things like the sewer systems that are wide open in the streets and pouring into some of the rivers. I've seen it with my own eyes. And the trash that is everywhere. And I thought, you know, it's not because we're so smart that we have a trash pickup every week in our communities. It's not that we're so smart that our sewer is taken so away so nice and so clean that fresh water is pumped into our house. It's not because we're so smart. I don't believe it is. I believe that we've been blessed by God with understanding how to build the railroads and how to build the airplanes and how to build the hospitals and things like this. I don't believe it's because we're so... I think God gave people engineering understanding. By the way, there's so many engineers. So many engineers there. But yet the understanding is so lacking. And it's glaringly obvious to me that they're in darkness. And I don't say that in a condescending way. I go there to preach the gospel because I believe that's what brings the light. That's what brings the understanding. You know, 1.4 billion people lack the written instruction from God. They have a Bible in their languages, and there's multiple languages in India, but they don't know it. They don't recognize it as God's word. And this is where the understanding comes from. This is where the truth comes from that sets us free. And because of it, there's so much confusion. Unfortunately, it hurts the whole society, this confusion. You know, the enemy has come to bring disorder. Or, you know what, and another way of saying that is to put it out of order. I put some funny pictures. I don't know if Jim has them. I sent them to him. But, you know, out of order means it doesn't work, right? Read this. This is broken. It'll take your money and give you nothing, and you will have no soda, no money, and that's no way to live, right? It's broken. Temporary, not out of order. So, you know, everybody get their copies done because it's working for a few minutes. How about this one? Out of order, removing this sign will not make it work, right? But you've experienced that. You need something, you're going somewhere, and what there's a sign on it that says what? Out of order. You know what out of order means? It doesn't work. No matter how hard you wish it to work, it needs to be what? Fixed. And God puts things in order. You know what that means? It works. That's so simple, isn't it? That doing things in God's order works. It's honestly that simple. Out of order doesn't work. And it's clear. You could put a lot of signs on things today out of order. And I'm even afraid in our own country that you could say that this is happening. The family, you could put a lot of signs on there that says, you know what? Out of order. You could put a sign on the churches. A lot of churches today, you know what it says? Out of order. Doesn't work. You could put signs on governments around the world today. Out of order. It doesn't work. See, God sets these things. And God ordained all those things that I just mentioned. God ordained the family. God ordained government. God ordained the church. And with that, God set an order for them. And whether you like it or not, God's order is the only way that works. God's word. And I don't say that in a, I honestly don't say that in an arrogant way. I'm saying that in a way to bring light and to bring understanding. If you want to know how something works, go to the manual. God made it. God ordained the family. God did. And he wrote the manual on it. And there's a way that doesn't work. And there's a way that does work. And when we don't do it in God's order, you know what it is? It's out of order. He made it this way from the beginning. Two shall be one. With male and female. That's the order. The male and the female. They're to be fruitful and to multiply. That's what he said. What was the fruit? Children are the fruit of this God's order. The order is God first. God first in the family, right? That's how it's supposed to be. And there's confusion. The enemy today is pushing confusion in all societies and in our societies. And if we, even God's people, fall for this disorder, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be out of order. It's going to be out of order, meaning it doesn't work. you know, society may tell you a lot of different things, like, don't even get married. Why even get married? Right? It's too much structure. Just do what you want. Just, you know, it's 2023. Marriage is so ancient, right? This is so, you know, why even get married? How about our government? How about governments around the world? You know, God instituted government. And why did he institute it in Genesis? He instituted it for the punishment of evildoers. You read it and see that that is. But so many governments today are for the punishment of those that are good. And to enrich the few who have power. It is so clear. In India, it's so, while we were doing ministries, you have to be careful. They are shutting down Christian organizations, and it's actually illegal in India to preach the gospel in open air and without permission from the government. They are allowed to have churches, but foreigners have to have permission from the government, which they don't give, and it's illegal to do it open air. And so there's some dangers in doing those things. You say, what is that? That's a disorder. Things become out of order. And I would say that that's true in our own country too, that we must keep the order right. Would you agree with that? That the United States should be one nation under God. That's a good order. Recognizing that God is first, that God is, you know, number one in our nation, endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I'm thankful that "In God We Trust" is still on our money. I'm thankful for that because it's true. I believe that God has blessed us. And let me just say this, we are blessed. It was great to come back to the United States of America. We are a very blessed people. I mean, the infrastructure that we have, the blessings that we have before we even get started is a blessing. Before we even, you know, apply our first, built on the backs of all those that have gone before us and built such a great, great thing. I'll tell you, we as a nation are blessed. And let me just say this. We're blessed by God. Our blessings are from Him. They're not from anything else, but they're from God. And so, in God we trust. I think that there's a right order that we must remember and get it right. Why? Because if the government gets it out of order, you know what? It doesn't work. Disorder. Out of order. The church is ordained of God. And can I tell you that the church has an order? In Philippians chapter 14, that same chapter, he says that I mentioned just a moment ago, that God's not the author of confusion. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40, Paul says, "Let all things," and the context is all things in the church, "all things be done decently and in order." Decently and in order. He was addressing a lot of things that were happening within the church that were out of order. There was a lot of confusion within the church. And so he's addressing each one of these things. He takes 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and addresses confusion about the Lord's Supper. And he lays out some pretty specific details about who is to partake of the Lord's Supper and why we partake of the Lord's Supper and how we partake of the Lord's Supper, examining ourselves and confessing our sins and all those different things. By the way, we were able to partake of the Lord's Supper on Sunday with believers. We had multiple baptisms. And each time, you know what I did? I taught about these things. Setting in order why we're baptized, who's baptized, the Lord's Supper, why these things are important. Why? Because there's an order to it. It's God's order. He's the one that set it up, and he gets to say it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul's talking about the disorder, he says this after he sets all the major things in order. He says, "If any man hunger, let him eat at home. And he come not together unto condemnation, but the rest I will set in order when I come." Paul said, hey, these are the main things that are important about the Lord's Supper. When I come, if there's still things that aren't in order, I'll set them in order when I come. And so Titus chapter 1, verse 5, Titus is a pastor, and the apostle is sending Titus to establish some churches in an area. And he says in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, he says, for this cause, Paul says to Titus, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest what? Set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. You know what he's saying? Order in the church. Order in the church as if a judge approaching the bench and it's pronounced order in the court. There is order in the church. There should be as we approach the presence of God and to fellowship and worship with him. You know what? We should desire that there be order in the church. We were in Sri Lanka on the second day after the day we dedicated the church building. By the way, this area of Sri Lanka is really remote. It's a fishing village, and all the believers there are new believers. Really, even the pastor, although he's been born again for a while, he's not been a part of a church. There's no Christian church in that area, so he's not really been grown up in a church. So they're, to say the least, they're lacking doctrinal teaching. And so we went and for maybe three or more hours, all the church folks and Thinegar and I sat and taught a few things, and then we opened it up for questions. And it went for a long time. And never once did we give our opinion. Every single time we said, turn to this book and this verse, right? You give them scripture. Never once did we say, this is our opinion or this is Baptist doctrine or any of that stuff. No, we say, thus saith the Lord. This is what the Bible says. This is what the Lord says. And we experienced that day in along the beach there. We were in a house, one of the folks' house is along the beach in a really remote area. All these like fishing boats, and we were walking right along there. We found, you know, bombs that had not gone off. They were duds. I mean, this is right in the middle of where it was civil war. We found shell casings from bomb places. These houses had been shot up and bombed up. This is right in the middle of the civil war area. And right there, the Holy Spirit gave these believers understanding. They told Finnegar and I, so many questions that we have been answered. And I'll tell you, the joy that were on these believers' faces, tears ran down their eyes as the answers came. Not our answers, but as we read God's word, they would cry. Seeing husbands and wives looking at each other like this is a miracle. Like, that's the answer to the question that we were always wondering. The joy of the order of God's word. When a church really wants to be pleasing to God, you know what they want? They want to be in order. They want to know what God says. And they want to do it. Now, we're not perfect. We understand that. But we understand that there's an order to the church. And we want to know the truth. We want to know the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can be set free. We have an enemy that's trying to confuse things, trying to bring folks into darkness, trying to deceive. And I would say this, I'm pretty certain that Satan is not trying to put churches out of existence. He's just trying to put them out of order. You know what I think the enemy would try to do? He'd be fine if we packed out all the churches across this world every Sunday. As long as when the individuals sat in the services, they didn't know the way to God. They didn't know the way to salvation. I thought about that. What if there's a church? What is a church? That if someone walks in the back door and they can't say, what must I do to have eternal life? And we say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If we don't have that simple answer, you know what the church is? It's out of order. It doesn't work. If we don't have answers for this world out of the word of God that he has set, then it's not working. It's out of order. And so we have to watch for these things, these things that God has set in order. You know, history has an order. his story. That's what I believe it is. I think history is his story, right? In the big picture, God has an order. I believe God has a calendar. He created time, and within time, he set some times, some things, some big events that are happening. We can see some of the past events with creation that he has done, and you know, with his first coming, that Christ said that he would come, and he did come, right? And that he made a way for redemption. He made a way for salvation through the cross and through his death, burial, and resurrection. And there's an order to those things. There's an order to the resurrections even. He tells us that in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Christ was the first fruits of the resurrection. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. You know what? There's an order in the resurrection. And then Christ is coming back. There is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some big things coming up. The resurrection of the church and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. These things are going to happen. He tells us that one day all of our enemies will be defeated. Amen. Satan will be bound and cast into the lake of fire where the beast and false prophet is. One day there'll be no more death. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more chaos. There'll be no more confusion. One day I can stand here and by the authority of God's word, I can say confidently that one day, probably not in the too far distant future, but one day God, the King of Kings and the Lord Jesus Christ, will set all things perfectly and in order. All things. His will be done one day on earth as is in heaven. I'll tell you, that's not being done now. That's not being done now. One day, these things will happen. And can I tell you this? There is no one that can stop him. There is no one, no thing that can stop him. One day, that's going to happen. He will set all things in order. We can look across and say, hey, that's not right. And this isn't right. And this isn't right. And there's things that we can do about it now. But we have a hope that one day, he will set everything in order. And there's nothing you can do. And no one can stop him. And so the wise thing to do, I'd say the reasonable thing to do, is to submit ourselves to his order, to the order of God's word in our lives today. You know, it may seem countercultural at times to submit ourselves to God's order. It may even seem counterintuitive at times to submit ourselves to God's order. But I know this, and I believe this, that it will be a great gift. It'll be a great blessing. It'll bring a joy and a peace and an understanding to our lives as we submit ourselves to his order. You know, the greatest times in Israel's history, and Israel had some great times in their history, but the greatest times in Israel's history is when they submitted themselves to God's order, God's instructions that were written down for them. You know, here's the thing. God's order is not mystical. It's not like you got to feel it. It's not even up for debate. It's not something where you say you got to talk to the right person. No. God's order is written down in black and white. It's right here. You say, well, what if it's not written there? Well, then we didn't need to know it. What we need to know is right here. This is his order. These are the instructions. That's it. It's honestly that simple. It's right here. God's order for us. And so we can submit ourselves to it. That we can say, hey, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It really doesn't matter what a culture's doing, what society's doing. It really doesn't matter what this country's doing or that country's doing. It doesn't matter what's popular, what's in style, what's out of style. As for me and my house, we have written instructions. We serve the one true and living God. And he gave us his clear, written word in black and white. It's a gift. It brings understanding. It brings clarity. It brings joy. It brings peace. It brings fruitfulness. We've been making a big deal on firsts since January the 1st. And this is, by the way, the first Sunday in March. This is the first Sunday in March. And we've been talking about that, those first. Seek ye first. And so I just want to make a reminder, kind of remind us all about that. That we talked about the first of the month, right? The first of the week, Sunday, and the first part of the day. Kind of resetting. Would we do that? Would we be willing to say, as far as my life, is my steps ordered by the Lord? Psalms 119, 133. The psalmist says, order my steps, where? In thy word. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. You know what he says? Hey, God, if you'll give me order in my life, that will set me free. So many times we think, oh, order. Oh, that's bondage. Order's too much structure. Listen, order will save us from chaos. Order will save us from confusion. Order will save us from being blinded by the darkness. It'll lead us into the light. I believe that God's calling his people today, just like he was in Numbers, to allow him and his word to order their steps. It's really that simple. To submit to the order of God and experience the freedom that he gives us in that life. First off, it may be for salvation. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been struggling with salvation. You know what we have to do? We have to submit to God's order. You say, what was it? We can't do enough good works to work our way to heaven. We can't do enough good things. We must submit to the payment of Jesus Christ. Say that Christ was the one who died for our sins, that we can know that we have eternal life. We can submit to his order in salvation. We can submit to his order in our families. We can submit to his order in our church. We can submit to his order in history. Recognizing that we are a part, that we're the church of the living God, here and now. I believe one day the Lord's coming back. But I also believe that we have a significant part in his story. That we are the people. We are the people that are called to be the light to this world now. We're the ones that bear the gospel. We're the ones that have his word and bear his name when we call ourselves Christians. And we submit ourselves to his story. You know what we're saying? The Lord's coming back. The Lord's coming back. There's the hope of the resurrection. There's an order to that resurrection. And one day the dead in Christ shall rise. We can preach that good news of Jesus Christ in Sri Lanka, in India, in Waynesville, in Lebanon, in Springboro, Centerville, all the surrounding areas. The good news of Jesus Christ.
Taking the time to listen today. We'd love to hear from you and learn how you've been encouraged or challenged by this podcast. Leave a comment on the Contact Us page on our website or write to us at 2094 East State Route 73, Waynesville, Ohio, 45068. And feel free to visit us if you're in the South Dayton, Ohio area.